Jessica Spicer.
Nathan Epstein.
Adam Raylan.
Jordan Weymouth.
Ben Farsi.
Becca D'Annunzio.
Tom Hall.
Mike Crawley.
And so much more. This is Nick's Golf Guy Podcast, bringing you course reviews, interviews, and stories from around the golf world. So stick around. Welcome to Nick's Golf Guy Podcast in this round's episode of The Golfer Journey. Today, I'll be sitting down with Royal New Kent Golf Club General Manager Tim MacArthur to discuss his golfer journey and how it all began. Tim MacArthur has several years in the golf profession, beginning as a golf pro at Kiowa Golf Resort in South Carolina. He then moved up to the iconic Kingsmill Golf Resort in Williamsburg, Virginia, where he was head golf professional and with great success. He now is the general manager of the Royal New Kent Golf Club in New Kent, Virginia, where he has maintained the great reputation, maintaining Royal New Kent's status as one of the top 100 public courses to play in the Golf Digest list of 100 best public courses to play list. So join me as I sit down with Tim MacArthur to discuss his golfer journey here on Nick's Golf Guy Podcast. Good afternoon and welcome to Nick's Golf Guy Podcast in this special edition of The Golfer Journey. And with me today, I am at New Kent Golf Club in New Kent, Virginia, with the general manager, Tim MacArthur. Tim, welcome. Thank you for coming on the show.
Yeah, most definitely. Thanks for having me. Right on. Look forward to it.
It's a hot day today, so I don't think I'd be able to get out on the course. So.
Well, it depends on where you're from, depending on how hot it is, I guess you'd say.
You being from Florida, but we'll get to that. So let's go back on your timeline of the golfer of your golfer journey, and when exactly did you become interested in the game of golf?
Yeah, I was a big baseball player growing up, and then about 13 years old, I got kind of burnt out from my dad being my coach of baseball, and I saw him playing just a tiny bit of golf. I thought it could be cool, the individual aspect of it. Got him to take me out to a little junior golf clinic and just really loved it. Absolutely loved the individuality of it. The ability to, you know, there's no team really, you know, it's either you can do it or you cannot do it.
Was your dad a golfer?
Not really. He was more of a softball baseball player than anything. But obviously the hand-eye coordination part of both sports are there. Just obviously the dynamics of weight shift are different. But realistically, that kind of led me to really liking golf. And I had the ability to just kind of get pretty decent at a quicker pace. By the time I started with freshman year of high school, really, and by the time I became a senior, I had done pretty well. So,
and where are you from exactly originally?
Down in West Palm Beach, Florida, is where I was born and raised. Okay. A little town called Lake Worth down there, and started playing golf. Started a
good community to start playing golf.
Yeah, I mean, you get to play 24/7 really. I mean, it seems like you obviously 12 months of the year you're able to play. So it's useful down there, but also the talent level is pretty high as well. So it was a great place to grow up and learn golf and be around a lot of golf community. So
interesting. So we talked a little bit before we came on, and you played golf through high school, correct?
Yep.
And then you went off to Catholic University.
Well, I went to Methodist University in Fayetteville, North Carolina. They had a very good golf program. I tried out, didn't quite make the cut. It was something like some crazy number of kids trying out for like six spots.
Very competitive.
Every single semester. Didn't make the team, but you know, I knew I could play a sport, so I ended up running for this college, cross country and some track. So it got me through. And
were you playing golf on the side?
Oh yeah. I mean, as a golf management student,
okay,
you could play. Being just outside of Pinehurst, you know, we would make some travel trips over to the Pinehurst area, Tobacco Road, played there a lot in college. There was some, obviously played Pine Needles and Mid Pines and things like that while I was in Pinehurst or so, so that
you,
area.
When you were at Methodist, you majored in golf management.
Yeah, so business administration with a concentration in professional golf management. It's very long-winded, but you know, it got me through. I just absolutely loved the program. Loved the staff, loved the friends that I made along the journey, essentially. So a lot of great program attributes at Methodist. Used to be called Methodist College while I was there, and now literally the year after I graduated, it became Methodist University. So
you finished college down in North Carolina, right?
Yep.
And you have your degree in golf management, to cut it short, right?
Yep.
So what did you do after that?
Yeah, so I was very blessed. I walked into our Jerry Hogg, which is known in the golf community. He always set me on the right places. And senior year, I was looking for what would be my 7-month internship. And Jerry, I said to him, I said, "What, you know, where should I go?" And Jerry said, "I want you to go to," he goes, "what do you think about Kiowa?" And I go, "What's Kiowa?" And he goes, "You really don't know." And I said,
"It sounds like an island on Hawaii."
I know. Yeah. I was like, never. He goes, "It's an island off the coast of Charleston, South Carolina." He goes, "On your way home to fall break down in Florida, why don't you drive over there?" He made a call while I was sitting in his office. By the time that was done, I had an interview down there on fall break. So I drove down there. I entered the pearly gates, if you will. And I was in true awe, literally right when I got on the island. I mean, it just a majestic place. Uh-huh. I was fortunate to work 7 months there. And right when I was about to graduate, I had my eggs in the basket. Even my first boss there at Kiowa, named Mark Schaefer, who was a mentor of mine, I said, "Hey, Mark, I really want to become the second assistant for you." And Mark said, he goes, "So you got all your eggs in this basket, don't you?" I said, "At this point, I do." Uh-huh. I said, "I'm just going to keep working here until you guys tell me to leave." And he hired me on, and I worked for him at Turtle Point for about a year and a quarter, maybe a year and a half.
Turtle Point Golf Club. Is that one of the?
Yeah, they got five resort courses down there. So I went from there to Cougar Point Golf Club and was the lead assistant there under a guy named Rick Ferguson. And
let me ask you this real quick. You've mentioned several names.
Yep.
As we've gone through so far, and these guys who have kind of influenced you.
Yeah.
In what way did they differ in the way they influence you? Like the one guy said, "Hey, go down there and check out the interview," and then you talked to Mark Schaefer. And yep.
Jerry was the influencer of where I went. He's well known in the PGA industry of placing people and getting his connections and getting people to go to different places. So he was instrumental in my life from that standpoint. Mark was my first real, other than an internship, was really my first job outside of an internship at Kiowa. And he was a young head professional because he was the lead assistant at the Ocean Course, which everybody knows.
Right.
And he had just become the head professional at Turtle Point. So we had a pretty young core group at Turtle Point, me as a second assistant and being 21 years of age. I just learned from, you know, him. And the cool thing was the director of golf, his office was at Turtle Point as well. So, I mean, you got a lot of view, a lot of, you know, eyes watching you, watching what you're doing. And so if you're doing a good job, it really works out to your advantage, obviously.
How many golf courses down there did you work out of the five that were down there?
Out of the five, I ended up working at three in my history.
Oh, okay.
So I worked at Turtle Point, Cougar Point, and then I finished the, before I left, I was at the lead assistant at the Ocean Course. Okay. So.
All right. Well, my golf cast, my podcast is geared towards the average golfer. Is the average golfer can just roll up, make a tee time and tee off there, or do they have to be a member?
Yeah,
or?
It's a resort course. You can tee off at any time.
Uh-huh.
Obviously, the Ocean Course has been ranked as high as top five in the country.
Really?
So it was really cool to see it and to be a part of it.
Right.
And just see the nuance that went into it. I mean, there's a lot of famous people that that a lot of people see in the mainstream that you see roll through there, essentially. So it's very cool.
Interesting.
From that standpoint.
What would you tell the average golfer out there who's kind of like me, hitting mid-90s, and just wants to get a group together and go have a good time? Which course would you tell them to play down there?
Ooh, which course? Well, you know,
obviously the Ocean Course is
is the premier course.
Right.
It's obviously challenging.
Right. What would be number two in your mind?
My favorite course to play day in and day out that I always told people down there was Cougar Point.
Cougar Point.
I absolutely loved it. It's a Gary Player design. It was each course has its own, you know, they're all designed by different people. So
yeah,
really,
they all have their own nuances.
Yeah, I mean, but realistically, I loved the way Gary Player set that course up to where there was a couple par fours where you were like driver, four iron, maybe even hybrid. But then there's like three wood wedge par fours. Then there's par threes that you might hit eight iron. But then there's par threes you might hit four iron.
Got it.
So you're getting every club in your bag. And that's really what I liked about it. It was thinking through and
managing the course, a lot of course management.
A lot
obviously.
Of very similar to Royal Newcastle.
Yeah,
obviously,
as I learned.
So, I mean, that's always been what I enjoy about the game is being able to hit all the clubs in the bag, not just boom, I got a driver. Boom, I got to hit driver. You know, those are the things that I enjoy about the game.
Interesting, interesting. So, up to this point. And I'm thinking about it, but while you were in school learning the process of golf management and actually being in the process of managing a golf course and all the nuances around running a golf course, did you learn it, what you learned in the classroom kind of translate to real life, or was it just not really compatible? You just kind of learned the ins and outs of what the academic side of it is.
I would say both. There was definitely good knowledge in the golf management programs. I mean, I think like any profession, right? You can learn as much as you think you can learn as being a doctor, but until you're like sitting in an OR and stuff like that, like and watching,
right.
I mean, it's different. And so realistically, you learn a lot, and I've took a lot of different traits from school. But when you're on the ground, you're learning. I just was obviously truly blessed to be at one of the, well, number one golf resort in the country.
Right. Yeah.
It allowed me to learn a lot hands on and, see what the attention to detail that they have and those things to bring on to different facilities in my time.
Been, the biggest challenges to you in your golfer journey?
Biggest challenges, you know, I think anybody will like have challenges along the way. I think for me, while I was at Kiowa, it was trying to move up the ladder.
Yeah.
I wanted to obviously be a head professional. I got a couple of people beat me out a couple different times, and I know those people, and they're great professionals. But realistically, I would have loved to have been at Kiowa for forever. Absolutely loved it there. Spent 8 years there, but you know, it was a journey that only got me to where I needed to be. As along the way, I think learning to stay calm under pressure of difficult situations from guests and things like that. You know, people get heated, and when they get heated, if you get heated, It only causes more really variable in the whole situation. So right. Really just staying calm, and if you stay calm, even if they get heated, it really allows the situation to be more, I like to say, be a cooler, if you will.
Right.
So that was one thing that I watched, a lot of people that were good at being a cooler, and was difficult at the time, and I hope I've gotten a lot better at that over the time.
So. Interesting. Good. Thanks for sharing that. Really important stuff. So you're at Kiowa,
mm-hmm.
and you made a change in your golf management career, where you ended up in Kings Mill Golf Resort.
Yep.
Could you tell us about that transition?
Yeah, so I was actually up for the Cougar Point head professional job.
Your favorite course.
My favorite course. I did not get it. The Ocean Course head professional came over and said, hey, don't want you to interview, but I want you to come work for me. Wasn't sure I wanted to go work for Ocean Course at the time, because Mark was great at allowing me to oversee the operation almost like I was a head professional.
Right.
Steven, that was at the Ocean Course, was a good close friend, but he was very more hands-on. We kind of talked it out. He said, hey, how about I give you these items and I'll stay out of your lane as long as everything's getting hit. And we worked it out to where I did come to Ocean Course. And after a little while, the average head pro was young on the island. So it wasn't like I knew I was going to be. Ended up being, I was 3 or 4 years into my head professional job at Kings Mill before I knew that a head professional job opened up at Kiowa again. So it took multiple more years. Right. I would have had to been there. I would have probably been the next guy to get the job, but
you would have had to wait.
I would have had to wait another 3 years to become a head professional.
Gotcha. So what was the opportunity at Kings Mill that you jumped on?
Yeah, it was very cool. They were transitioning their woods course to be a private members only facility, and they wanted a members only head professional to oversee the day in, day out strictly of the woods course. And so knowing Kings Mill from being, hosting the Michelob Open at one point and hosting the LPGA, I was looking for the right opportunity of a course that had some stature to it.
Sure. And it has. Curtis Strange is.
Yep. Curtis Strange was influential course, there. Yeah. Yep. For a long time. So realistically, I knew the name. I knew everything about it. I researched. I thought it was a good opportunity. And I applied. They did a phone interview with me. Had the guy laughing over the phone. He's actually the director of golf at Ford's Colony now, Jeremy Hijack. And once I knew I had him laughing on the phone, I said, "All right, I'll probably get called again."
Gotcha.
And so I came up to an interview. Drove up from Charleston up to Williamsburg, and I get some very. I basically got a second interview after doing that, and met some great people. The GM at the time, really, or VP of sports, was Wayne Noe, and he gave me an amazing compliment. He told me later on after I'd interviewed, he said, he says, "Did I ever tell you I walked over to Jeremy's office and I said, is this kid that good at an interview or is he just that good?" And Jeremy's like, "Well, working at the Ocean Course, I think he's that good, you know?" And so it was very, very cool. I obviously got the position and made the move up to Williamsburg. So
let's talk about your first day at Kings Mill. We were just chatting about that during a little break here. Tell us how that whole transpired once you got to Kings Mill and what was going on there.
Yeah, it was interesting time. First day on the job was right before the LPGA event. So the Kings Mill Championship was in town. Jeremy drove me around in his truck, showed me the entire property. We were in the truck for about, I don't know, an hour and a half, showing me all of Kings Mill. And then he basically here's the keys. I got a LPGA tournament to run. So I'm going to go back over, and thankfully the systems that that they were using were basically the exact same that I had used at Kiowa. So I was very fortunate in that. So it was very, very cool, and it worked out nicely. So.
Right on, right on. And through that whole experience, you were there 6 years?
Yeah.
Through that whole experience, did you ever kind of move around? How many golf courses are at Kings Mill?
Yeah, they got three golf courses.
Three, right?
Yep.
And you were at the private course. Did you ever move over or kind of move around?
Yeah. So when Escalante bought the property, they made obviously some changes, and I was fortunate to stay on, and I end up becoming head golf professional of all three courses.
Oh wow!
And so we had a great staff working through all that. I worked over three courses for, I would say, about a year and a half, and then I was approached by their vice president of sales about becoming a salesperson for golf and some other different markets, and it was an opportunity that was too good to be true. So I ended up taking it at the very end of my career. Basically, I worked a year and a half, I guess, in sales, even just working with golf groups, getting them to come,
right,
golf tournaments, as well as some military groups and some educational groups, things like that. But it was cool to learn the sales side of things and really be a part of, because really, even as a golf professional, you're selling yourself in some respects.
Right.
So
it was kind of maybe a new challenge that you kind of took on.
Yeah.
That kind of just fell in your lap. Would you say that kind of?
Yeah, I wasn't looking to do it. I was. It really came. They came to me.
Right.
My Wayne said, "Hey, Craig wants to talk to you and have a cup of coffee about you becoming a salesperson." And I was like, "Me?" You know, I was like, "Okay." And so
nothing wrong with a conversation.
And
never
so
know where it's going to go.
Yeah,
right?
So I had the conversation, and they said, "Yeah, you're not going to have to work weekends, and we're going to pay you a little bit more than you're making now, and you're going to get potentially commission on top of it." And I was like, "So wait a second, I'm overseeing three courses. You're going to pay me more to do a sales and commission, and I don't have to work a single weekend." That is correct.
Where do I sign?
I was like, okay, well, I guess I can't really pass this up. And the member guest tournament was my very last event that I ran at Kings Mill. So
wow. So you went from golf pro running all three courses at Kings Mill, which is a pretty prestigious position,
mm-hmm,
for sure. And then you went into sales, and that was what, for 2 years?
Yeah, maybe a year and a half, 2 years,
about
somewhere
that
there.
Okay. And so then you ended up at New Kent after Kings Mill.
Yeah, Royal New Kent.
Royal New Kent.
I had a member at Kings Mill come up to me in the parking lot that I've had grown, obviously, really close relationships over the time there.
Sure.
And he said, "Hey, can I introduce you to somebody?" And I said, "Sure, what do you have in mind?" He goes, the new owners at Royal New Kent, I really want you to come and see them and talk to them. I said, "I think you would be an amazing fit for them. And the golf course is legit now." And
so let me interrupt it for our listeners. Royal New Kent Golf Club is about, would you say, about a half hour or so from Kings Mill? Maybe a little bit more?
Yeah, probably about. I live in Williamsburg, so it's about a half hour from Williamsburg. And we're between Richmond and Williamsburg,
right,
basically.
So we're kind of like halfway in between Williamsburg and Richmond at this point. Yeah. Okay. Just a little geography lesson for my listeners on that one. So
yeah, it's, I came out to, I had seen this course actually in a little winter series pro-am. I loved Mike Strance. Absolutely. Like I said,
who's Mike Strance?
Mike Strance is the course designer.
Okay.
Developed Tobacco Road that I told you
I
played a lot in college.
Sure.
So I knew the name. Was a big fan of his, big fan of his work, and so he designed this golf course. And when a previous ownership, it was in, just being dead honest, it was dwindling. Conditions were not as good, and the design was phenomenal, but the conditions were not great. Well, the course closed down. This ownership group bought it, put about $2 million into renovation. And that's when I was introduced to them.
What year was that?
I was introduced in end of 2020. And I started January 21. So
this is a relatively newly designed course.
Well, it was from 1996.
Okay.
But it had closed down.
Redesigned.
But redesigned.
Right.
Freshly redesigned. Opened in 19. March of 19. So it's fresh, new redesign. New greens, Champion Bermuda greens. A lot of bunkering that they had messed with, as well as the drainage. The drainage was a big, big part of that.
It always is in this area with the.
Yeah. I mean, when I saw it in the tournament I played in, it hadn't rained and it was like swampy.
Ooh.
And so I was just like, And so those are the things going on in my head when he's telling me, hey, I want to introduce you to these people. And I was just like, okay, you know, but when I came out, the ownership's guys were great. They took me on the golf course for 9 holes and I saw what they had done. And I was like, this is legit. Like this is something that has the ability to climb the charts.
Right.
I really felt comfortable and really felt that strongly that the course, as well as what they had done, had the opportunity to continue the rise. So that's where I felt really comfortable making a move.
Uh-huh.
And after obviously talking with them, they felt comfortable with me. And
here you are.
So this is where I've been now for, I guess, 2.5 years.
What has been the biggest challenge here at New Kent with it being such a newly designed course? You're kind of off the highway, the beaten path. I mean, there's got to be some challenges here to kind of get golfers and golf groups and stuff, but with your background, that might do you use all of those efforts to kind of, you know, build your clientele here?
Yeah, so for sure. With golf group packages and things of that nature, it's spring and fall are our biggest two travel times. I do think that we are very much a travel destination type golf course.
Sure. Absolutely.
People are coming down from, you know, you could go into a parking lot and I think our owner said one time, he goes, I saw 14 different states on license plates out there in one day.
Absolutely.
So it's definitely different. You know, at the same time, I think geography is our biggest challenge from the standpoint of hoping to try to get more of the local market to come and see us a little bit, you know. So
Royal New Kent Golf Club is on Golf Digest 100 best public courses to play list. When did that happen?
They re-entered about 2 years ago.
Okay.
My first year here, we had re-entered in the top 100. You know, Golf Week's got us rated as high as top 5 in the state.
Easily.
We just came back out, public and private. We just got into the top 12. That, in my opinion, is a big, big deal because obviously competing against private is pretty challenging.
Yeah.
Obviously, the money that flows in private typically is tough. So when we got to top 12 in the state, private and public, I was very, very
ecstatic.
Excited.
Yeah, that's like a badge of kind of like, you know, you did a great job or you're doing job making it happen.
You feel proud about it, and we continue to just try to grow that gamut, if you will, and try to get up the charts, the charts with the top 5 that we're in.
Sure.
From a public standpoint, I look at the top 4 and I literally don't disagree with a single name that they have, you know, so I'm just honored to be a part, and we are honored to be a part of those 5 courses that we're even putting our name against.
Some of the other.
Yeah, some really other
big competitions.
You know, Golden Horseshoes and
Omni.
I played Omni down out in western part of the state.
I played Stonehouse this year, and it was a fantastic course. Not really well known, I don't believe, but.
And Stonehouse is Mike Strantz as well.
Yeah.
So it's you know, the Strantz name is fun. He's got 7 design golf courses, and that's really what it's all about. Is we have really taken the Strantz name and go after it.
Uh-huh.
I mean, there are there's a whole website on Facebook and Instagram about Strance fans and Strance fan club and all that, you know, and Strancey acts and stuff. So, so it's, these people are searching out the Strance courses.
Sure.
And, so he's designed kind seven
of gets,
golf.
Gets that following and people kind of bounce yeah. around and
exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Play the courses so, that he designed. Yeah.
So we're in talks with multiples to try to come up with our own little, you know, send people to the stuff and see the Strance courses. But we were honored. Well, they were honored to have Strance's widow come out to the reopening after the renovation.
Mm-hmm.
Blessed to have in our hallway down to the Strance pub some of his original drawings where he drew out the holes, and you can kind of look at the drawing and go, oh man, that looks really similar.
Right.
You know? Like, so it's a testament to him to, he could draw it out and then actually make the land develop
uh-huh.
the way he had an vision for it.
Wow.
So it's very, very cool.
Interesting. What's been the biggest challenge for you here at New Kent with all of your past experience and being kind of elevated in that, you know, best places to play in Virginia role? What is the ongoing challenges that you have as you continue your role here as general manager?
Yeah, I think obviously just growing rounds mm-hmm. is what we want to continue to focus on and getting more and more rounds each year.
Sure.
And being a combination of getting the local market to be behind us as well as that destination. And, you know, what I've told a lot of our destination groups is, you know, there I'm like, yeah, you're going to Pinehurst, you're going to Myrtle Beach, like stop and play us on the way down or absolutely. On the way back, you know, and
absolutely. And if so, you're heading, I want to tell my fellow guests, if you are my fellow average golfers, if you're heading down this way from New England or DC, if you do want to treat yourself to a special day on the course, this Royal New Kent is the way to go for sure. I played this course one time, and it was quite the gem for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, it's a very special piece of property.
It
you
is.
Know, we play up a tagline. I remember when I was kind of applying, they said, you know, we've chatted about like a tag of Golf Ireland in Virginia, and
yeah.
I was like, no, y'all need to like grasp that. Like, and when I got here, I just said, all right, we're taking the Golf Ireland Virginia, and we're all of our hashtags, Golf Ireland Virginia, on social media. My putter covers now that are in that we sell in the shop say Golf Ireland Virginia. Got hats that have Golf Ireland Virginia. It's really become part of us.
Gotcha.
Because it is a unique piece of this thing. Is Mike Strance spent a month and a half in Ireland, you know, getting
the ideas,
the
and
idea to develop this piece of property more Irish style.
Right.
So that's why we have the golf, the Ireland type flags for our flagsticks.
Sure.
And we fly the Ireland flag on our flagpole. I mean, it's
kind of part of the identity of the
yeah.
whole course.
I mean,
and
you got rock walls, rock walkways,
sure.
all the wispy grasses. I mean, it really fits this place. And so if you're going to be like that, you might as well own the whole moniker and make sure that that's what you're doing.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Couldn't agree with more. You're doing what they're doing. You're doing a great job for sure with that whole promotion, I guess, if you will, on you know, maintaining that. Some
yeah.
people go, oh no, wait, the Ireland thing's not working. Let's do something else. But you've kind of that's been kind of a mainstay of
yeah,
your,
you know, that's
promoting the course.
That's what I continue to talk about. You're building a brand, obviously, and you know, when I got here, there was a lot of the logos that were Royal New Kent were on shirts were color coordinated with the shirts, and you know, they were all different colors and all that. And I said, you know, the one thing was that I tell a lot of people, I said, you would never see the Kiowa tree on the logo be a different color than orange.
Right.
We're going to have our logo look like our logo.
Gotcha.
It's not going to be color coordinated. This is going to be our standard logo.
Right.
And you know, they're joking. Are you trying to compare this to Kiowa? And I go, Kiwa had to start somewhere,
right?
Like, I mean, so.
Well, it's so, setting the standard, you
exactly.
know.
Exactly. So we're trying to build a brand, and sure. I want the logo to look natural and the way it was designed to be.
Right.
And so now all of our logos that come in are always the standard logo.
Good.
You know, and they're like, well, Tim, you know, the logo doesn't always look good on certain colors. And I go, that's why I don't order those colors, you know. If it doesn't look good on the shirt, then I'm not going to order that one. You
there
know?
You go.
So
let's change clubs here real quick. I found your LinkedIn page, and you have a club called the New Kent Network. Could you kind of explain that to us, what that is?
Yeah, so New Kent Network is a it's called a 212 program, and what that is a kind of a networking type group. We're fortunate to host that group here at Royal New Kent each Thursday at 8:30. Local professionals from different industries, only one from in every industry, like a realtor. You know, we're looking for accountants, we're, you know, different sectors, if you will. And we kind of have the entertainment sector here at Royal New Kent, and we just host them here and really build a very close knit group of people that you can trust to do a good job when you need it.
Right.
The electrician of the group, we do a lot of work with them when we needed, downstairs in our basement for our carts needed to go more LED and be fresh, and so he did all the work for us from that standpoint.
Cool.
So you build a network of trusted professionals, I guess,
from the area here,
from the area of New Kent. Yeah.
Okay, awesome. So good community networking.
Exactly. That's what it really boils down to.
Interesting. So if you're in the New Kent area, you want to join a golf networking program here, come on over to Royal New Kent. One last question real quick. What has been your biggest accomplishment in your golfer journey?
Man, you know, a couple different things, I guess. I was very blessed to become a certified golf professional. You know, there's not every golf professional takes that extra education step.
The PGA, you mean?
In the PGA, yep. So I'm a certified golf professional in general management. Really blessed that the Kiowa staff pushed that. So I completed all that. You know, so far I think one of the coolest thing is it's just the facilities I've been at.
Right.
You know, every golf professional doesn't get that type of
opportunity
to be at certain places, and I've been very, very blessed to do that. I've been blessed to be around and watch, be able to see the PGA Championship come to Kiowa while I was there, and be around big events, the LPGA event at Kingsmill. So being around these type events and seeing the properties has been probably one of the coolest things.
Yeah.
And it
it's not something to mention, a lot of your hard work went into it.
Yeah. I mean, the hard work got me to where I am, but it also, you know, just being blessed to be around it is, I really try hard not to take it for granted. So,
and my final question, what has been your biggest disappointment in your golfer journey?
I don't know if I've had any disappointments, really.
Wow.
I mean, obviously you I love to play better golf here and there, but you know,
Join the rest of us.
I mean, but I've been blessed to get on a hot streak to where, you know, multiple rounds in a row, I shot in the 60s. You know, I was in a zone for a couple weeks.
Wow.
But you know,
if I were to play with you and you were hitting in the 60s, I'd be like, I'll be right there, guys.
Yeah, no worries. I was feeling good. I'll catch up with you. That was 8 years ago. I was 31 years old, actually. I remember that because I shot, you know, everybody wants to shoot their age,
sure,
at some point.
Absolutely.
Well, obviously when I was 31, I couldn't really shoot 18 holes better. But when I was 31, I shot 31.
Wow.
And so for 9 holes, of course. So that was kind of cool.
Yeah, absolutely. Not so disappointing.
No, it wasn't disappointing at all. So, I mean, but, you know, being able to play better on a consistent basis would always be fun. But I really enjoyed everything I've done.
That's awesome.
I don't have much disappointment, to be honest.
Man, I can tell you people listening right now are like, that guy is lucky because I wish I had found what I wanted to do when I was his age.
Yeah, I figured it out really, really early.
Yeah.
I mean, I was like literally like 16 years old and knew I wanted to like, I was working at a golf club and I was like, man, I really want to do this. Like, this is fun. Is
yeah.
And you can't be bad working at a golf course.
Yeah, I know.
So.
All right. Well, Tim, thank you very much. I appreciate you coming on the show and sharing your golfer journey with us. There is a part of the show, Nick's Golf Guy podcast, that I do. It's called The Short Game. Would you like to go ahead and answer a couple of questions there on the back end?
Sure.
Okay, great. Give us just a moment. We're going to take a quick break. Be right back with Tim MacArthur here at Royal New Kent Golf Club. Okay, welcome to this round 29 of The Short Game with my special guest, Tim MacArthur, here at Royal New Kent Golf Club in New Kent, Virginia. Tim, I would like to ask you one question I ask all my guests on The Short Game. If you were to BYOF, which is build your own foursome, with any person, dead or alive, doesn't have to be a golfer, what three would you choose?
That's an amazing, amazing question. I would start off with my dad. He passed several years ago at this point, but definitely be my dad right off the bat. Love to play with him again. Other than that, I'd love to I'm a big, big baseball fan.
Okay.
And so as much as it would, you know, a lot of people would probably go, oh, Arnold Palmer. All I would probably say cool for me would be play with my dad, Chipper Jones, and Ken Griffey Jr.
Wow. Okay. That'd be a fun foursome.
That'd be just the stories I would get from inside baseball would be the fun part for me.
Interesting.
I mean,
okay,
that'd be really cool. And the place I'd play is probably, since I haven't played there.
Yeah, that was my next question. What course would you choose? So there's a lot. I mean, with your experience,
I haven't been out west, really. I've been mainly at East Coast, obviously, as y'all figured out, Florida, South Carolina, Virginia. I would probably, I'd want to do Pebble.
Pebble Beach.
Yeah. Or one of the two, obviously, a bucket lister for me is to get to St. Andrews.
St. Andrews, obviously.
Pebble in the United States, if I had to stay there, but anywhere in the world,
across the lake,
probably
it'd be
St. Andrews, hands down.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah.
Keep that in mind, my fellow average golfers.
Yeah, Chipper and Ken Griffey Jr., if you're listening, anytime.
Royal New Kent. Okay, great. So, okay, Tim, now let's move on to the golf language lesson. I have created the golf language lesson to help my fellow average golfers improve their golfer vocabulary. I have selected three words from my golf language dictionary. These words can be slang terms or actual definitive golf terms. I will read the golf term, and you will have to give me the definition.
Fantastic.
Are you ready?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Bring it on.
The first word in the golf language lesson is greenies.
Ooh, greenies.
Greenies.
That's like the betting terms right there. You know, the greenies is how many greens you're going to hit in a round, basically. And if you're playing greenies, you're like, you know, you see how many greens you hit compared to the other player, basically.
Let's see if you're right. You were like betting term, right?
That's what I think of it as.
Okay. I'm going to give you the point. Hitting a green in greenies are hitting a green in regulation. One shot on par 3, two shots on par 4, three shots on a par 5.
Yep.
Or the amount of Benjamins you win when you're playing lights out. So well done. Well done on the greenies. All right, the next word in the golf language lesson is going to be knockdown. Knockdown.
Knockdowns are used a lot at Royal New Kent, I feel like, if you're playing well. Obviously, I think of knockdown as something that you're going to need to play when you have a lot of wind. You're not going to just, you know, tee it high and let it fly. You're going to controlled shot to where the ball stays lower. You can control trajectory and control distance. That's what I think about when I hear knockdown.
Knockdown, and you are correct. The knockdown golf shot is executed when a low trajectory is required, like hitting from the rough and having to clear low-hanging branches. Normally, the ball is positioned towards the back foot, and an abbreviated follow-through is utilized. Mm-hmm. All right, excellent. Two for two. Two for two. I don't know if...
Man, I don't know if I got this, but I'm trying here.
I think I've only had one person get three for three. We'll see, though. Okay. And the third term in the golf language lesson is inside the leather.
Oh, inside the leather. Oh, I like this one. This is when basically, you know, it's like inside the leather is a term used if you are going to get a gimme, if you will. It's when the putter grip is the inside the leather, basically. So if you're inside the leather, you're inside the base of the putter to the edge of your grip is the inside the leather.
Tim, you are three for three on this round 29's golf language lesson. Inside the leather refers to the imaginary distance that makes a putt a gimme or not. It can vary depending on how nice your golfer buddies are. The more money you have on the line, the smaller the circle of friendship. Oh,
smaller the circle of friendship for sure.
Tim, I want to thank you for coming on the show. I really appreciate it. It's been a really good time.
Thank you so much.
All right. Fantastic. Folks, I want to thank you for sticking around. Got a little things to share with you there on this round 29's the putt, so stick around. We'll finish up here in just a moment. Welcome to the putt for this round 29 of Nick's Golf Guy Podcast. This week I'd like to give a shout out to my listeners in the great state of Texas. I want to thank you for listening. I want to share with you, my fellow average golfers, what is coming up next on the couple rounds of the Nick's Golf Guy Podcast. On the next round, I will be sitting down with PGA Mid-Atlantic Ambassador Sean Bowman to learn more about the PGA HOPE program and how it is helping our military vets and active duty members across the country. I'm really looking forward to it. Also on upcoming rounds, I will be sitting down with Virginia Tech women's golf coach Carol Robertson to discuss her career as a golfer and learn more about the Virginia Tech women's golf program. Ms. Robertson has a distinguished career in women's golf here in Virginia. Also up on the show, Chris Dillo of Killens Creek Golf Course and Resort will return to the show to go in depth about the Chris Dillo Golf Program and discuss his work with young golfers. That is what's on the tee box for future rounds here on Nick's Golf Guy Podcast. I want to thank you again for listening.